beautiful cake that you just baked. There's something that you put into that cake that was just yours alone, that some ingredient that you're like, what in the world is in this cake? That's the beauty that you bring to us that we get to enjoy. So without it, we would not have that piece that we can celebrate. There's another part in it that says, for you are imbued with magnificence, the magnificence of love, the magnificence of God or spirit, whichever makes you comfortable, but recognizing again that there is not another you here. And so the intention behind this bridge is to remind individuals of who we are individually. Just think about a baby when a baby is born, the joy that a baby brings to us, right? The love and the joy that we feel about the baby is like you just want to just be a part of it, soak it all up, because there's not another like this beautiful presence in front of us. And if we think about that as a part of who we still are from our birth up until whatever age we are now, all of those experiences are still a part of who we are. And we can use those experiences to bring joy to others, to bring kindness to others, to bring laughter to others, and to spread love around the world and the universe. And that is why I just love the idea behind birthday blessings. And as I said, it's a new twist because it just helps you think of who you are, the gift that you are, and what you bring to the world without having to feel like you are less than. Who you are already is enough.
Now, on that note, there's one little thing that a simple little thing that I started saying to people during COVID all day long. They were telling you, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. So I said to people, you know, at least three times you're going to be washing your hands in front of a mirror. When you're in front of that mirror, smile at yourself. And I sometimes actually crack up because, you know, Ricky Byers, beautiful musician, practitioner, singer, she told me when I was in pain from something once, she said, look in the mirror and smile at yourself. And I looked and I looked. I laughed because it just was amazing that I thought, where was I looking all the rest of the times? I was in front of the mirror. But that experience of being able to laugh, not worry. There's a line here, there's a line there. I call them now laugh lines. They're not wrinkles. I got more laugh lines. And as I laugh, I noticed my pictures for my day. It was Thanksgiving Day, about 2010. Somewhere around there, dates are not important. But I looked in the mirror and I looked so, I was smiling through tears. And now I look through the mirror and I say, oh, a little more of a V going out here at the corners, but I can laugh. So I think just getting in the thing of looking at yourself, looking at your own eye, looking with your own eyes and smiling, winking. Somebody, you know, next door, next room might think, oh, she crazy. She in there doing that funny look in the mirror thing. But it really has helped me start out my day. So I would encourage people that that's one way of conferring a blessing on people. You talk about conferring blessings. Tell us more about what does it mean to you? Why do you think sometimes think people think it to confer a blessing on themselves?
Well, there's nothing wrong with giving yourself a blessing. And I'll tell you what a wonderful way that we can do that. And so it is said that it takes 4 to 8 hugs for you to survive. It's 8 to 16 hugs. It may be 8 to 12 in order for you to thrive, and then 12 to 20, let's just say 21, for you to feel alive. So instead of looking for hugs outside of ourselves, we can give our own selves a hug. And all it takes is just you wrapping your arms around one, around your shoulders. You can have your right arm on top, left, and then reverse it and go the other side. And what does that feel like just to be able to give your own self a hug instead of waiting for someone else to give that to you?
That feels pretty good. I can see I've got muscles still left.
Yes, and that's your blessing for the day. It could be, you know, just being, just as you said, smiling. I mean, smiles is like a universal language. No matter where we go in the world, no matter who we run into, bump into, a smile can always help us let our guards down. It just brings a sense of peace to us and whomever we are around. And we know that it's okay to begin a conversation because the smile helps to break that. It helps to just bring a sense of, you know what, we are the same.
And, you know, I've noticed without thinking about, oh, I'm smiling at people to be smiling, but because sometimes, a lot of times my day starts off happy from my happy look in the mirror. but more and more people say hello to me. When I first came to Los Angeles, when I first came to Vancouver, I thought, wow, these people are mean. They don't smile like the people in Toronto. They don't smile like the people in Kansas. But now, almost every day, somebody, you know, smiles or they say good morning. So maybe it's something in you that you're not being, you know, trying to make a face or make yourself smile. But when you've smiled at yourself, so it brings something into your face that draws other people, in my experience, draws other people to smile and say hello or smile and say thank you or just be look receptive. So I think that the song, with the number of ways that it expresses blessing yourself or enjoying yourself, it might help other people to say, let's see if what they're talking about it, you know, really works.
Yes, I would say give it a try. When we smile, we let our guards down. If you're frowning, it's like no one wants to be around someone who's frowning and feeling grumpy and all of the negative vibrations. Everything is a feeling and a vibration. At least in my world, it is.
Yes.
So when we smile, it just kind of like releases all of those guards. We just can let them go to the, you know, to the side, and just be at peace in the moment. And when you do that, you're opening the space to welcome those around you to just come right on in. Like I said, it's a wonderful way to be able to strike up a conversation with someone else if you're smiling because they feel welcomed.
Now, let's talk for a minute of a contrast of the effect on people of pursuing external celebrations of large events with like war victories or sports championships with lots of noise. What are some other ways that and monies that are being spent on these types of celebrations?
Well, during the 4th of July holidays, I was just sharing with my husband earlier, I can remember when we were growing up in Louisiana, and 4th of July, we had this, it was a whole community festival, basically. The whole community would come and bring food, celebrations, all different types of, you know, cakes, baked goods, barbecue, and the whole, you know, nine yards. But at the end of the evening, there was always fireworks along, even from the little firecrackers all the way up to the big bang. Of course, we were always limited to those that we would have access to because we were, you know, younger. But fireworks are big celebrations. And even here where we live now on 4th of July evening, as soon as the sun goes down, you can bet there's going to be a whole there are some boats actually that's not far from where we live that they have that they light up and have a parade. It's like a 4th of July parade in the lake that's near where we live. But also there's always a beautiful fireworks show at the very end of the evening. So that's another way that people celebrate, not only families coming together and celebrating with picnics, fun family food, games, you know, entertainment, music especially, and then also the fireworks shows at the very end that says, okay, this is the end of the celebration.
Now, not knocking celebrations, but comparing, I was in a couple of times in a fireworks place with people with little children and saw tantrums that little kids had over some of the things that were for sale at great expense. What do you think What are some of the costs? Do you have any idea how much money people spend celebrating with beer and wine, or celebrating with fireworks, as opposed to, celebrating with a family gathering or making something together?
I am sure it is in the billions, and I can't remember. I think I recently did a little reading on how much money is spent on beer and wines, and I think it's a billion with the B, for sure, on not only the food, the wine, and beer, but also on fireworks. It's a billion-dollar industry. But I always say that to each his own. But there are other things that we can do to celebrate one another. But it's, I always say, if you're going to enjoy the fireworks, do it with safety and precautions, especially when little children are around. And our animals too. I noticed that whenever the fireworks go off, they don't take it too well either. So that's another thing that we would have to be cautious about, or just aware of, to make sure that they're not losing any of their senses as well. So that's always something that's very important. But holidays are also times for music, and music is always can always bring joyful celebrations, sometimes where fireworks may not necessarily be allowed, because there are certain restrictions in different zones. So music might be the one thing that could take the place of that type of celebration. Any type of music that's joyful and uplifting can also bring people together in a wonderful way.
Yes, there's some lyrics. My aunt used to be the was the person who every year had the backyard barbecues, and she had an area for kids. She had an area for games, a lot of card games, but just people. There was an opportunity where people reached out for people that lived at some distance to come, and so I think kindling that. It's not a challenge, but it's one of the things that I think maybe people could think about, how happy you are when you do see that elderly person, or how happy you are when somebody brings their new baby or their toddlers. And just having the children intergenerationally, I think during Juneteenth, we reflected on a lot of customs that we had that were really enjoyable, that brought a smile, that helped make our hearts happy, singing together,
Yes.
I would say sometimes to my brother, "Oh, I feel like singing," and he would say, "Please don't." But I think we had an Aunt Frances, and people would laugh a little bit about some of the ways that she would give her own lyrics to the song, but it was fun. So I think that might be something that we can pass intergenerationally or even just neighborly to have people sing. Do you ever have family sing-alongs or visit people who are just singing for the heck of it?
Absolutely, we do that, especially in the summertime with the children. I'm a part of a mentoring program for young girls, and oftentimes we just, have ways that we enjoy music at our monthly meetings, because it's just a way of being able to bring us together a little closer. Music is, again, universal. So it's just a wonderful way. I'm just thinking too that when we do play music around our girls, many times music could be generation. Their younger teenagers, of course, would be a different type of music than the adults would listen to. But what we've learning in those instances is that we could bring in our childlike self as the adults and enjoy the music that our teenagers are listening to. And so I'm noticing that's one way that I'm finding ways of being able to enjoy being around them, by just coming back to my teenage self and enjoy their types of music. And I think it's a great learning experience and a great way to embrace the childlike within my own self.
Yeah, speaking of exchanges, I think I, for myself, worked on instead of being so critical of some of the lyrics, having an opportunity to discuss some of the things people are saying for love, you know, and to be able to have real conversations with girls or people in the family is that, do you really want, what is that person really saying when they say, you got to bring me a this or bring me a that in order to get my love? Really good discussion starters. And I think listening to the music rather than criticizing the music has given me a greater, I'm going to say respect or a greater whatever, that we can have these conversations with, yeah, appreciation. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking when we were children and people came out with the Twist and some of those songs, people thought those were really horrendous. So mm-hmm. being able to have a conversation and either joke about or talk about, you know, what does that mean to you? Some of the lyrics that are in words, what does it mean? And is that how you see yourself? Or what do you think? You know, do you think that these are the only options? Because a lot of the music now seems to be conditional. You've got to bring me a something in order to go out rather than some of the songs you've mentioned, you know, love songs of the past that talked about how you make me feel, the way you do the mm-hmm. things you do, you know, lyrics that just made you not feel less than, feel like you're having a financial transaction before you get to have a date from the words that are in the music. So it opens a door opener for good conversations, both among young men and as well as among, you know, young women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the questions you had asked earlier about, you know, how we promote the promotion of the birthday song. We, you know, often say that let the music touch your soul and ignite your spirit. And what you were just saying about different types of music now in different genres, what might speak to my heart may speak to your heart differently. You may hear it differently. Right. And so we have to be respectful of each other when it comes to that. But I think something that you just mentioned that is so key is if you're open to having the conversation and even asking, what does that line, you know, of that sentence mean to you in that song? We could learn so much more from each other when we can be open and respectful of how it might touch their hearts, how it might ignite their spirits compared to how it ignite and raise our vibrations as well.
Yes. And as we talk about collaborations, I wanted to ask you about the music production collaboration that happened to bring about this amazing song that you have.
Thank you for asking that question. I was fortunate to have a wonderful musician friend that helped me with the music. I gave the idea, did come to me of the song, but this song went through, I would say, three iterations before it became what it is today. But the intention behind the idea for the song never changed, and I thank God for that. So how birthday blessings came about. My husband was out working on the car one day and mentioned that our daughter-in-law was having a birthday. And as I was coming back into the house looking for my phone, wanting to give her a call. I love serenading people on their birthdays, have done it for many, many years. And as I was looking for my phone, the thought came, wouldn't it be wonderful to have my own birthday song to sing? And that's kind of like how this song began to come into fruition. And then I, after speaking with the musician friend of mine who does all of the instruments in the song, he was able to tie the beautiful calypso feel, and you've already listened to it, but to hear that calypso music, it just makes you want to get up and dance. And so collaborating with him and then a very good friend of mine, who is a wonderful gospel singer, Ms. Babbie Mason. She helped with the background vocals on the song, and I'm really excited about how it all came together. And what I would say before closing is, if you have a dream, a desire, a vision, and you might feel like, well, I had thought about that 10 years ago, it's never too late. You can still have a way of not letting your dreams die. Believe in yourself, believe in your visions, and they do come true. Many times we don't make the steps to move on how to do it because we don't know how it's going to happen. But I always say that how will meet you along the way. You have to make the first step towards it.
Oh, I love that. I had a similar experience with writing poems a few years. I can't say, don't have the exact year, but it was more than 10 years ago. I wanted to give someone a gift. And this person was one of the person I'd taken a class with on spiritual development, a spiritual formation. And I didn't really have a lot of money at the time, but I recall the different people that told me how much they enjoyed my poetry. So I wrote a poem, and the person was so delighted with the poem, I went to the house and they had it on the wall. And so I started then writing more and more a birthday poem for people and giving it to them. And what that writing for someone, like as you talked about the collaboration, discussing how it made people feel, feedback that I got just encouraged me to picture the person. So I have a book, in my book, From Pillows to Pillows, and the other one, Heartbound, it has some little activities that people can do at the end of a chapter to write a poem. Think about things, you know, what colors does the person like? You know, what do they like to eat? Just little notes. And then those little notes that you make about the person helps transcend into a poem or into a song. And just the care, I think where, you know, Hallmark cards cost a lot of cards now can cost $10, $12 or whatnot. People put them in a box. But I have seen just about everybody I've given a tribute poem, a birthday poem to, I've seen it somewhere in their house, you know, on a wall, in a frame. Somebody had it made into a heat transfer and transferred it onto a shirt. So I just thought, when you think of things that make you happy, and then when you think about what would make somebody happy, expressing it in a song or expressing it in a poem can really make their day. And the smile, I'm sure the smile that people got when you gave them their poem, that reflects back on your, you know, how did it make you feel? And so did it make you feel happy? Did it make you feel, how did it make you feel?
Are you asking me this as a question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry, I misunderstood that. I was listening as you were gifting someone the poem, and I think that's a beautiful, and I'm not surprised that they would have it framed and, you know, where it can be shown and seen every day as a reminder of the blessings that you have given them in writing this poem. But gifts are wonderful. Every day is a gift when we think about it. And so to receive a gift from anyone always brings me joy. And it's not so much the cost of it or anything like that. It's just the idea that someone took the time to think about me. That to me in itself is the gift, even before it's unwrapped.
Yeah, I'm just imagining with your beautiful voice how the person felt on the day you sang to them, you know, that it's like nobody can give you something like that feeling.
That is true. And that's one of the things, that's the reason why I believe all of the years that I have been enjoying serenading others, when you're in the moment and thinking of giving someone the gift of song, it becomes all about them and it's their moment. And for me, as I said, everything that I do with intention, and it is the intention to make them feel as elevated as they need to be in that moment because it is all about them. It's a two-way street, I would say, because when you are giving, when you're giving someone something, your hands are open, right? You're giving,
yes.
Your hands open. You're also receiving. Your hands are open to receive. So giving and receiving are one. And so it's a gift to me just as to give the song as well as to receive. When I see your face light up, when I see your whole body aura change, that is the gift that you are giving me in receiving the song. So that's why I say it's a win-win. It's a two-way street. And we are both receiving the blessings.
And, you know, there are probably other people that have this type of thing in their cupboard. But my brother gave me a gift of a box that my mother had, and it had the little notes that I had written to her at four and drew pictures around. She had every one of these things, every card that I sent all the way up through my 30s. I'm way past 30 now.
Oh, but nice.
This
That's
box that it had just impressed on me, wow, how much those little things meant. Mm-hmm. So I'm planning to care for, and you know, old pencils still work. There's some things that I wrote, and it's like 70 years ago, and it's still preserved. It's still there. So I'm thinking I'm going to lay them out and take a picture of them and maybe make quilts or make, you know, wall hangings to show to other people how much it means, or even to a child, how much it meant to a parent to receive these little drawings and little pictures, and which emerged into letters, etc. You talked about all of the things that you experienced in transitioning from helping people who were sick to helping people who were questing for changes in their life. I wanted you to tell us how to get in touch with you. How can people find a birthday blessing celebration, and about just the simplicity of building self-love and singing along into your life?
Absolutely. Thank you so very much. I would say that if anyone is interested, they can go to find me on Instagram, Facebook. My website is johnnyproby.com. Johnny,
spell it.
J-O-H-N-N-I-E. Proby is P as in Paul, R-O-B as in boy, Y. johnnyproby.com. And on Instagram and Facebook, you can find me at Johnny Proby Music. Johnny Proby Music.
Well, I am so happy that you took time to express to us the value of celebrating birthdays, self-love, and singing along. Saluwa recommends listening up and telling others about this. Take advantage of every opportunity to experience self-love. And you know what I say when people ask me about what time it is? I say it's always love time, poem time. So, Johnny, thank you for taking the time to be with us. I'm sure we'll have you back again, where maybe some people who've listened to and are exercising the many images of self-love that are in your lyric video. Tell us a minute, Ben, just about the difference in typical music songs and the lyric. Lyrical song.
The lyrical song or the lyric video doesn't have people in it. It's a video of images of birthdays and celebrations, and the song lyrics are on the video, so you can sing along as the music is playing. So you don't have to worry about the words, forgetting the words or wondering what the words are. The words are right there on the screen, which is called the lyrics, and you can just follow right along. And if you don't feel like singing to it, just enjoy dancing, because your heart will just be joyful either way.
And I'm going to say, even if you can't hold a tune in a bucket, what my brother used to say to me, you can enjoy singing along or just watching the words, watching what comes up next as a prompt for a way to enjoy and be blessed on your birthday. Thank you again, Johnny, for being here with me this morning. And I look forward to you coming back again and maybe talking to a group and letting people express how this is affecting their lives.
Sounds like a winner. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be with you today.
Oh, happy birthday every day.
Yes, and happy holidays to be safe.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Tell a friend, this show will probably repeat over the weekend, and they can hear the wonderful ideas that have come through. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. love.